solving your practical time problems when you are teaching your children at home. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been doing a series on home education, and I kind of heard that the biggest problem is the time crunch. Whether you're actually a homeschooling family or you now have an unexpected problem of your children learning at home in some sort of hybrid fashion, what is most upsetting is the time problem, particularly when you have both parents employed. And I've given you some of the overall arching suggestions, but what about the nitty-gritty time and organization problems? There's really an organization problem manifesting as a time problem. And I know that parents are truly concerned about this. Last spring, you could say, well, it's just a couple of weeks, then it became half the semester, but now you realize that you've lost a lot of ground with your children, and this could go on. So I have the answer for you to the rescue with some very specific and practical pieces of advice and tactics. You will know that the past three episodes mostly were encouragement, and I think that's very valuable. I hope you do, and you may have to go back and play those. This is practical today. So the first thing that I have to say is be sure that you have set your goals and write them down. This is true whether you're homeschooling or whether you are simply supervising the education of your children. And they have perhaps a public school curricula, a teacher, maybe it's distance. And so they're at home and you're only supervising. Still, get that textbook, figure out what is supposed to be happening, and write some goals. And I will talk more about that in detail for the truly homeschooling family that is picking the curriculum and so forth. But set your goals, write them down, and make it available to your students. That, of course, in an age-appropriate fashion, whether you have a poster or a binder or whatever, but be signed on to everybody having the same goals. And then two is have a day plan. A day plan. This is the difference between an experienced educator and a suffering, distracted mother. Is a plan for the day and a pattern for what happens. In a preschool classroom, say, let's imagine a two-year-old classroom, that teacher has a day plan that goes over every minute of the day. She's got something planned for every minute of the day, and she's got at least two or three other possibilities in case one of those activities doesn't work. So she has a method and a regular way of doing things. Things happen the same order every day. So her two-year-olds know what to do. When they come in at a certain time, their parent brings them at a certain time, they know exactly what's happening in the classroom. And if it's a good preschool, they're coming in, washing their hands, greeting their teacher, and then something is happening. Perhaps it's very early in the morning, but after breakfast, and they're going directly to the table to play puzzles while the class gathers. And then there's opening exercises where everybody is gathered together as the class. Maybe that's 9 o'clock, and they, you know, in the old days we pledged allegiance, said the Lord's Prayer, whatever it is. Today it will be reciting the days of the week, which maybe isn't the best thing for a two-year-old class. But anyway, there is a set procedure. And hopefully the children also get to speak and talk with the group at the plenary session. And then they may go to their various learning centers, what have you. But the point here is that there is a day plan. In a two-year-old classroom, the children just get used to the routine, but the teacher has it written out. And she is, by the way, submitted it to the director as well. So the director should know. And this is true in every school, but it's not usually shared with the students in the same way as in homeschool. So whatever grade your student is, or whatever level they are, there needs to be a day plan. You need to have a day plan, particularly if you have several children that you are overseeing, so that you know what you need to do at every given time. So perhaps 9 o'clock, you're having opening exercises, checking in with the students, and then at 9:30, you're going to teach the youngest one his math lessons, and then he's going to go off and do his homework, and you know, maybe he can do his geography and science by himself because it's reading and he can do that, but you need to be presenting his math. And then at 9:45, you're going to present math to your second oldest child, and so forth. So you're getting them started, and so they know exactly what they're supposed to do, and you know what you're supposed to do, and you have a routine. Write that down. If the children can read, you might as well let them see it, and you might as well plan with them, because there may be some, as you plan, if you've never done this before, you may run into unforeseen problems. So what happens if, say your youngest child's name is Bob, and Bob has a problem with the second math problem, and you're working with Bill, and should Bob interrupt you, or should he wait? And if he waits, will he lose his math period? Or what might he do while he waits? Can you be interrupted? So you need to set not just the order in terms of the day part, but all the procedures. Actual form, what happens, this and this, and a day for each child and for you. And of course, they're going to coordinate. So perhaps everybody sits around the table and does their math between 9:30 and 10:30, but you have it organized. So again, let me say, peace and learning, optimal learning, and peace of mind for the teacher. The difference between a harried mother who doesn't know what she's doing, about to pull out her hair, and an experienced educator is this kind of planning. And I don't like to tell stories that intrude upon my daughter's privacy. I hope she forgives me for this one. So many years ago, when she had three children, they were all preschool. For some reason, I was in charge of all three of them, and she had to go work. And of course, I was an experienced preschool educator, but it was very difficult because these children were all talking at the same time, all running off in three directions, etc. You know, I struggled with this for a day or two, and then I realized, okay, you're a preschool educator. What is not working here? And so I made a plan. And I shared the plan with the boys. They happen to all be boys. And they got used to me, but they also were used to the procedure, what we were going to do. We're going to do this first, and then we're going to do that. So we all have breakfast, and then we all clean up, and then prayer and story time and lesson. And then we'll all have a walk, and then by that time we'll be hot and we'll go swimming. So, you know, it was this and this and this. And when we swim, I'm going to have to ask you, Zachary, to stay in the shallow pool because he was too little. And right when he jumped into the deep end, well, that was the end of swimming, right? Because he was 2 years old, and I was trying to teach the 3-year-old and the 5-year-old how to swim, and the 2-year-old jumped in the pool, scared me. Okay, so we had procedures, a day plan, and we began to have procedures in our own communication. And so it became much, much less difficult because they weren't all running in different directions. There you have it. You will gain peace and you will gain more learning by having a plan. So I am going to give you my favorite week schedule so you can plan your day. If you have a very small child, then you may have to have a larger sheet so that you can schedule by minutes. But anyway, I'm going to post on the website, www.greatshalom.org. I'm going to post there my week plan chart. And if you have supervision for them all 5 days, fine. If not, it still will work. You know, this is exactly what you need. They need to know what's going on so they can feel in control and cooperate with you. And you need to be sure all the needs are met. Okay, so because you've got more supervision to do. So that's the day plan and the week plan. And then you also need a chart for responsibilities. So many families use the charts for chores. Excellent, excellent. Because this gives a visual reinforcement of what the children are supposed to do. So make one like that. And also you might have checklists, a weekly checklist. So have you done math? Have you done your spelling unit or whatever it is that you have planned? So the student, you want to shift this responsibility of planning and being and supervising as much to the child as is reasonable for that child, so that all you have to do is supervision and not actually doing. This is a major step, and as I've said before, this is the one of the best outcomes for homeschooling, is the students are much more self-directed and therefore much more productive and better characters and academic skills. So then make a checklist. You can make a checklist yourself. You don't need a form for that. And that's the kernel of what I'm going to tell you. Now I'm going to get more specific here. So if you are a homeschooler and you just have no idea what to do, we've already talked about just asking your friend what's a good curriculum and buying that, you're still kind of at a loss. So yes, you should get my book, Learn a Home for Great Shalom, but maybe you have to hit the ground running. So what you need in any curriculum is a scope and sequence. It used to be that Alpha and Omega had the best scope and sequence, I thought. But you can probably get online what the state requires in any given grade. And certainly Texas has that widely available. Know that Texas schools, even the ones that are considered good, often don't really meet that bar. But anyway, that's the plan. And if your child is going to go back to public school, it makes a lot of sense to fit into that plan so they actually do, say, American history in the year when American history is planned. And even if you are not, it's helpful to know what they've planned. So let's teach much better quality. But if there's any possibility of going back, it's helpful that they have covered, so they're ready to go to the next level in math and things like history, so they've had their American history by the time that everyone else has. So find yourself a scope and sequence. This is what you need to cover, or what you're going to aim to cover. You'll then buy a curriculum that matches that. So for instance, if you have fourth grade in Texas, is Texas history. So perhaps you buy a Texas history book and you're going to plan a semester. So you're going to plan the fall. So I usually plan 16 weeks in a semester. What is mandated in the colleges here, you can check out in your school. And in our state, it's how many minutes, but 16 weeks usually works. So then you can plan 4 grading periods of 4 weeks. I think this works a lot better, particularly for elementary age or grammar age students, because they haven't forgotten what happened 6 weeks ago. So 4 weeks ago, plan the topics within that and then plan some kind of evaluation. Yes, you're probably going to have chapters and tests, but please do more than that. So for instance, maybe we'll go with this Texas history business. So maybe there's going to be a project. They can choose to do a paper, or maybe you're going to do the play of the runaway scrape of eight, you know, or the battle at Goliad. They have to do some project to explain to you what happened. Okay, so I always like to give choice in those projects. So I choose a list for my classes, and then they can choose, because I want them to engage in something they're interested in. But the point here is to have an orderly set of weeks, some orderly evaluation, and some curriculum plan to be covered. Now, because you're homeschooling and not teaching to the masses, if something goes wrong and you have to spend more time on long division, whatever, switching over to math, then you can do that. Okay, so this is a tentative schedule. However, if you always did that and never allotted more hours in the day for a problem like that, you might not cover your curriculum, but at least you have some idea. So it's, you're not just blindly going down some blind alley following some textbook. Okay, so figure out what it is your child needs to learn. Get some tools for that. Make a plan as to what covered. Okay, so maybe you're doing literature and you're going to choose 16 different books. Great, but at least have a plan and some evaluation plan so that you can check in and regroup. Okay, you're going to feel much better about that, and it's only fair to the student to know what's coming up. So I am going to give you my 16-week planner. This might not be the best one for you, but at least it's a form, and you can see how I filled it out. For, of course, I was always planning for freshmen in college, but it works the same way no matter how it is. Now, public school teachers don't go through this because they have much less choice, but they do make lesson plans, and sometimes they spend an enormous amount of time on the lesson plans. Bless their hearts. But this is even more important than the lesson plan. Now, you need lesson plans, perhaps. So, for instance, if you're using Saxon Math for grade one, all you have to do is read it and do what they say. Okay? Yeah, I don't find that I have to do any more than that. I doubt that you will. Maybe you're going to teach odds and evens, and you have some sort of manipulables. Let's say you have checkers, and so you can arrange them in columns, making double columns. So 2, 4, 6, 8. And so if it's 8, you see that it looks different than it's 9. There's a 1 hanging out there on 9. They visually, the columns look different, and you're teaching odd and even. So it's not difficult for an adult to understand that, and the book will just help you. And of course, homeschoolers do like Saxon Math for that reason. Also, their homework is very, very repetitive, so that children can be very self-directive, and that's why the homeschoolers like the Saxon Math. But if you're, for instance, maybe you are teaching trigonometry to your high school rhetoric student, then you have to go and sit down at night and relearn that trig that you have forgotten so that you can adequately present it to the student. And maybe you decide you need to have some teaching tools, so you get out a paper plate and some yarn and some markers and some thumbtacks so that you can present that. Okay, so that's your lesson plan. And I think it's less useful that you write that all out in your situation than it would be for a public school teacher who's going to teach that repeatedly. But you may teach it repeatedly, and you might put it in a box with your trig stuff. You'll probably remember that next year for your next student. And incidentally, the Boston Museum had wonderful science lessons in a box that we just had great, great fun with. My daughter and I had so much fun with, we started inviting other children having our science lessons. Okay, So then also, I'm going to suggest an increase on your goal sheet and put other kinds of management agreements. And this is really like a syllabus. So the way we do things, you know, like we never interrupt when somebody else is having their lesson presented. We're going to work on cheerfulness, you know, whatever the agreements there are. And I think that it's helpful to have the children in a powwow and say, you know, have them have some input into the rules that they want to have. So there you have it. I'm going to put these documents, these forms up. So you've got a day plan, week schedule, put my 16-week planner, and I think it's less helpful for you to see my syllabus, but I'll make some sort of a syllabus that might work for homeschooler. And I want to tell you again that this is more than worth the work. This is gold. You are responsible for seeing that your children are educated, but you also want peace in your house. And this is going to be the way to have a productive learning environment with peace for yourself. Also, you know that you want to redeem the time. You don't want to waste time, and your children are going to find ways to waste time and get off task if you don't put some guardrails up for them. And also remember, the scripture says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. So in your planning, connect what you're doing with your higher values and with God, because all truth is God's truth. And we're going to talk next time about the difference in social studies particularly, and the difference in curricula, secular to biblical worldview, because that's really very important. Redeem the time. Have peace. And supervise your child. Teach them about God. Sitting down, rising up, coming in, going out. And I'm going to advise you to get my book, Learn at Home for Great Shalom, which you can click through and get at the website greatshalom.org. But also, I'm going to ask you to invest in this. I just gave you what would have been important consulting, what would have been a product, but I'm going to put this on my website for you, and check out the ongoing free offers there. You have been donated to, so I give this out freely, encouragement and practical help, and it will help you to invest in it. You will, when you invest, you get dividends. And you may just listen to this and go ho-hum, but if you are wanting help for your children, invest. This is one of the major mistakes that mothers make, is that they get into a poverty mindset and they don't invest in the education of their children. So there is no point in saving for college if your children can't read. There's no point in saving for college if your children won't have the diligence to finish college when they get there, won't study in college. So invest in this and send me something. There should be a PayPal portal on the website at greatshalom.org, and even if you don't have PayPal or take credit card, of course you can send it land mail. Send me a check of any size to greatshalom.org, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Also, I'm going to ask you to seriously consider sending a donation for starving children. Seriously, I am in relationship with Pastor Saboa in Kampala City, Uganda, and people are starving to death there and many other places because of the COVID shutdown. He runs a school. You can see the pictures on Facebook, and I will gather whatever I get. Make those checks, mark them, make them payable to me, Sharon Sarles, S like Sam, A-R-L-E-S, make them payable to me. I will gather them up. I will put them together, and I will send them Western Union to him. So I'm asking seriously. There are people who are starving to death. This is a real person I know who has real pastoral oversight over many children and their families. And so I would urge you. And he's at this point trying to pivot to try to find some business way because the church and the schools are shut down. And if he can do something, then he's willing to do anything. So I encourage you, again, send me a check. Or if you want to send it PayPal, I'll deal with that. But mark it. GreatShalom.org, www.great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, GreatShalom.org. And get the book, invest, and please give to worthy cause. There is no better cause than investing in children and in their future. And first they have to be eating, and then they have to be learning. And then they will be contributive to the world. And if we don't do this, then not only shame on us, but we're going to suffer the consequences. Okay? And God will bless you. I truly believe this. One way or another, I think God will bless you because God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.